Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I'm your host, Kate Romero, and this is bbsradio.com, and I'd like to give some gratitude to Don Newsom over at BBS Radio and his associate, Seth, for launching this wonderful radio show to raise consciousness using Hollywood, which is what I think it's for. I have for you a real treat tonight. It's Marcy Shymoff, who is a number one New York Times best-selling author for Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul, and she has a new book out called Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out, and she is cracking the happiness code. She's been very, very busy lately, out there changing the world one person at a time and many people at a time. She is also the founding member, one of them, of the executive committee of Jack Canfield's TLC, which is Transformational Leadership Council, and I would love to know more about that when we bring Marcy on, and would like to, without further ado, read to you a bit from her bio so you'll get a chance to know a bit about her before we bring her on, and also give you her website so you can pull that up, being this is internet radio. Go to www.happyfornoreason.com. That's all spelled out, no spaces. www.happyfornoreason.com. And just so you know, Marcy Shymoff is a transformational speaker who has inspired millions of people worldwide with her breakthrough methods of experiencing unconditional happiness and success. For the past 25 years, she has been a top-rated speaker and trainer for numerous Fortune 500 companies, professional associations, universities, and nonprofit organizations. Marcy is also the woman's face of the biggest self-help book phenomenon in history, Chicken Soup for the Soul, a number one New York sellers, New York Times best-selling author. I just got back from Maui, so some of me is still over there. Her 7 best-selling titles, including Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul, have sold more than 13 million copies worldwide in 33 languages. You've also seen her as a featured teacher in the hit film and book The Secret. Her newest book, Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out, cracks the code on happiness. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on Ms. Marcy Shymoff. Hello, Marcy.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here with you, for good reason.
Yes, and I'm so glad to have you. Thank you for making time in your busy schedule.
Sure. It's fun.
Yeah, so are you doing a book tour presently, or are you?
I am. I actually, I have been doing many, many TV and radio interviews and speaking engagements all over. And tomorrow I'm on the Montel Williams show.
Wonderful.
It's a full hour devoted to happiness.
Mm.
So that'll be very fun. And things are, you know, happiness is just everywhere these days. So I'm getting a lot of opportunities to talk about it, which is great.
Yeah, it's funny how much we're hearing about happiness and vibrating good feelings and how that attracts to you an exact vibrational match, and the laws of attraction are really, really gaining so much more credibility than they ever have before. And I know personally that they absolutely, definitely do work. And I'd like to just start off, if you're okay with it, to find out how you attracted your husband, speaking of the laws of attraction.
Oh, absolutely. I love to tell the story. You know, it's interesting, Kate, because since I've been in The Secret, the number one question that I get asked by women from all over the world is, how do I use the law of attraction to attract a husband?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a formula that I use for the law of attraction. It's different than the formula that's used in The Secret. In The Secret, the formula is ask, believe, and receive. It's these three steps. My three steps are very similar. They're almost parallel, but I like them a little bit better, first of all, because I learned them many, many years ago, but also because they rhyme. And they are intention, attention, and no tension. So intention, be clear on what it is you want. Now, most people have heard about that step.
Mm-hmm.
Attention, put your attention, your thoughts, your words, your feelings, and your actions behind it. And no tension, let go, relax, be at ease, surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the step that most people in our society don't take.
Yes.
So let me tell you what happened with me in terms of my husband.
Okay.
I was 41, and I had never been married. I had always wanted to be married. I had, in fact, when I was a child, I used to really get visions of my husband. I would get a picture in my mind of this man. And it was a little strange, but I would get this picture of this man, and I would ask, where is he? Where is he? I was about 10 years old, and the answer kept coming back to me. He's in Italy. He's in Italy. This was a very strange thing for a girl growing up in California to hear. But so my intention was very clear. My attention my whole adult years were on getting a husband. That's all anybody ever heard of is, I want a husband, I want a husband, find me a husband. But simultaneous with that attention, I would always say these words, and notice if you don't hear a lot of single women saying these words, there are no good men.
I've heard that.
Over and over again, there are no good men. And I carried that feeling or that attitude with me of, you know, I can't find the right man, I can't find the right man. So the attention, the energy was not in the right place. And also, I was not in a state of no tension. I was in a state of trying to force this thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really almost being unhappy with the rest of my life because that one thing hadn't come true yet.
Mm.
So then about 1999, I started working on a book called Chicken Soup for the Single Soul.
Mm.
And this was a book all about being single. And I was reading all these stories from people about being single. Most of them, strangely enough, were about how miserable they were being single. And I started recognizing myself in these stories, and I started saying, this is what's wrong. I'm off. I'm really off in my feeling and in my thinking. I better get happy first myself, and I better start putting more positive attention on being single. So for the entire year that I was working on that book, I changed my tune. And I started saying, as soon as this book is over, that's it. I'm done being single, and my partner's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the book is over, I'm not going to be single anymore. And I said that to my co-authors every day, and I felt it, I meant it, I believed it. I also, in that same year, let go on some level, and I focused on being happy myself. That's that third step, that area of no tension, being happy anyway.
Right.
The book came out September 15th, 1999. The next day, September 16th, I met my husband.
Wow.
It was as fast as that in the way that it was just, I let go.
Well, that was intention, attention, and no tension at its finest.
Yes.
Yes.
It really, really was. And now the real clincher to the story is, my husband was born and raised in Italy. And so when I was 10 years old, he was in Italy when I kept asking that question. And his face is exactly the face that I saw as a child.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, who knows where that all comes from? Who knows how that all happens? As a matter of fact, he looks a lot like John Stossel. I don't know if you know.
Yes.
John Stossel on 2020. And about 10 years earlier, before I met my husband's name is Sergio, before I met Sergio, I was watching 2020, and for the first time I saw John Stossel, and I said, oh, my God, there's the guy. That's the picture that I used to see as a kid.
Right.
And I went, and I did research on John Stossel, and I found out that he was married, he had a family, and I figured, oh, God, that's it. Forget it. It's over. He's gone. He's taken.
Right.
And 10 years later, my husband shows up with the same face.
And his name is Sergio, and you had him placed in Italy. So
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Wonderful. Can I share a little bit about how I used your concepts as well?
Please, I'd love to hear other people's stories about this.
Okay. I had decided after, I'm just going to say I have three husbands.
Yes.
And the reason I had three husbands is because I didn't have a first clue about what a healthy relationship role model looked like.
Yeah.
And I read everything I could get my hands on. I haven't read Chicken Soup for the Single Person Soul or anything like that, but boy, if I did, actually, it's all perfect just the way it is.
It is.
So I sort of rebuilt myself from the bottom up and the inside out and decided, okay, those three classrooms that were marriages were enough to teach me some things, and if I haven't learned those things I'm supposed to learn by now, then I might as well just be the girlfriend to the universe and just make a difference in the world and let that be my relationship.
Mm.
So for 2 years, I hibernated, didn't date, and just took care of me and learned to love me and learned to get to know who I am and what my preferences are and what my values are and to really get clear on my priorities. So I have a saying. It's Dan Millman gave me this saying. He says, you can believe in Allah, but tie up your camel.
Yes.
Yeah, so to tie up my camel, I went to Macy's and I got a beautiful Tommy Hilfiger navy blue robe for a man and matching slippers, and I didn't look at the size. I've only recently realized that the robe was one size fits all, which was smart, but I didn't do it on purpose. But the slippers were definitely a specific size. And I also bought some cologne. It's by Givenchy, and it's just the most delicious-smelling cologne. And I had so much fun shopping for this because I was manifesting this person. If it was ever a physical person that manifested, this is the way I wanted him to smell, and this is the robe and slippers I would have liked him to wear. And so I had the robe in my bedroom where I could see it and the slippers by my bed, and I sprayed the cologne just a little bit every night before I went to sleep for a year. And turns out I was had Mike Dooley from The Secret on my radio show.
Yep.
And I was sharing with him on the show how I had made pancakes for myself one night at 2 in the morning when I got home from some work I was doing. And I never do that because they always suck up the syrup, and I always put too much syrup, and I end up eating too much sugar. But this night I had to have pancakes, and sure enough, they sucked up the syrup, and I sat down at my computer to check my email, and I got a note from the universe, which is Tut.com, that Mike Dooley does, and it says, Kate, in the scheme of life, you know that you want to put more syrup on your pancakes. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. I'm sitting here with pancakes wondering, should I put syrup on them?
Whoa, I love it when that happens.
Yeah. So I wrote Mike an email, and I said, you just freaked me out, and I want to know where's the camera. And I went and put on my robe real fast. I shared with him that, and then he came to town, invited me to a seminar. I went, and when I went there, I wore these kukui nuts that my client made for me with her own two hands with lapis lazuli, which is one of my favorite stones. I wore them everywhere. And when I get to Mike Dooley's seminar, I walk in and there's a man standing there wearing kukui nuts. And I haven't seen any other person doing that or wearing those since I've been in Los Angeles or had my own. And I walked up to him, and I never do this, and I said, excuse me, I don't usually do anything like this, but I have to know your name. You're wearing kukui nuts, and so am I. And he said, oh, my name is John, and where did you get yours? At the Billionaire Boot Camp. And I said, what's that? And so he'd gotten his at Christopher Howard's Billionaire Boot Camp.
Yep.
And I just said, well, nice to meet you, and went on about the seminar. And next morning I'm having breakfast with Mike Dooley because I was determined to have pancakes with the universe.
Yes.
The whole thing was set up. And so I had pancakes with the universe, and I said, by the way, Mike, how do I get a hold of Rhonda Byrne, who, of course, is the creator of The Secret, and ask her if she would like to be on my radio show because Spiritual Hollywood is perfect for that, for The Secret. And he said, well, she has a publicist, and I don't have his information, so call Joe Vitale's secretary, Suzanne, and ask her, and she'll give it to you. So the next day I did that. Suzanne gave me the information, and I thought, wow, he's in Burbank. He's close by, this person. And she gave me John Steller's name, who was the publicist. And so I called the next morning. I said, hi, I'm Katie Romero, host of Spiritual Hollywood. And I just had Mike Dooley on my show, and I'd love to have Rhonda Byrne because it's perfect for my show. He said, oh, I was at a Mike Dooley seminar this weekend. I said, you were? So was I on Sunday. I said, well, maybe you saw me. I was wearing a brown beret. He said, yeah, I saw you. I'm the guy in the cocoon nuts.
Oh, my God. I love this.
Yeah, and long story short, we started having coffee together, and I had some of John's clients on my show, and we recently went to Billionaire Boot Camp together, and that was in Maui for 9 days, and we're going to get married.
Yay! Congratulations!
And anyway, the robe and slippers fit him perfectly, and he still wears the Manifesto cologne.
Oh, fantastic story.
So
that is a true law of attraction story.
It is, and the way I have three things that I use, which yours are fantastic, mine are give thanks, believe, and receive.
Oh, I like that.
So I give thanks for what it is that I want instead of ask for it. And
oh, lovely.
So, but your idea of intention is even stronger than giving thanks. when you're intending it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all the same when you take them to the deepest level.
Well, that's source in action.
Yes,
it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, oh my gosh, I just love your book, and I'm having so much fun reading it.
Oh, good.
And I just, if you don't mind if I just share a bit of it with...
Please.
Where is this available? Tell our listeners where they can get this.
Happy for No Reason is available in any bookstore. It came out with just huge success. It actually debuted at number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list and on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list and number 1 all over Amazon. And, you know, the time is now for this message. The message of The Secret, the message of Eckhart Tolle, the message of Happy for No Reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everywhere, and I'm thrilled. So you can get the book anywhere at any bookstore, or you can go onto my website, which is www.happyfornoreason.com.
Yes.
And in fact, if you go to the website and you get the book, there are all kinds of free gifts that you get from my colleagues in the transformational world, like Jack Canfield and John Gray and Joan Borisenko and all these people give free gifts along with buying Happy for No Reason. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
How generous. That's wonderful. I actually emailed Jack Canfield and asked him if he'd like to listen to our show tonight. So if you're listening, Jack, hello.
Oh, you know what? I had an interview right before this. It was an hour-long interview, and it was with Jack. So I think I don't know that he's listening right now because I think he was finishing up his own call.
Yeah, it says right now he's online. So.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for the great interview.
Yeah, so good. Oh, how funny. What synchronicity? I believe that synchronicity is divinity showing off.
Absolutely. There is great synchronicity in the universe. And, you know, I'm finding it's just happening more and more. When you put yourself in the energy of alignment, when you put yourself in this energetic wave with the universe, things start happening. I was in Hawaii just 2 weeks ago with my husband, and we have a friend on Maui. We only one person that we know on all of Maui. And I said to him, gosh, I haven't heard, her name is Devika. I said, I haven't heard from Devika in 3 years. I wonder if she's still around. We were only there for a day, and he said, well, let's not take the time to call her. We had so little time. So I halfway through the day, though, I picked up my phone to check my messages. There was a message on the phone from Devika. Said, I haven't talked to you guys in 3 years. I was just thinking of you today. I'm wondering how you're doing. You know, next time you come to Maui, let me know. Give me a call. I mean, in 3 years she hadn't called me. The day we're there, she calls. It's just,
wow.
It's kind of cool how things happen more and more like that these days.
It very much is, and I would like to just share an exercise from your book with our
Please.
Listeners, just right around that very topic, and it's inviting grace.
Great.
Which I really love. It's to invite grace. It's an exercise. This simple exercise reinforces the no tension step of the secret formula you learned in chapter 2, which is intention, attention, and no tension. First, just sit quietly, write a letter to your higher power about a situation, excuse me, in your life that you would like assistance with. For example, a relationship, about your health, or a job, and write from your heart. 2, ask the perfect people, places, and circumstances be brought to you for the deepest fulfillment of that situation. You may want to ask for the right understanding of or forgiveness if appropriate. 3, put the letter somewhere meaningful to you where it won't be disturbed. Some people like the letter to be in a special book, in a sacred place in their home, or under a rock in their garden, and you won't be looking at it again for a while. 4, now let go. Key, let go. Turn the situation over to a higher power. Relax, feel grateful, and invite yourself to believe that the universe is always supporting you. 5, notice what happens over the next days or weeks, and you may want to go back and look at your letter in a month or two to see how the universe responded. And it's absolutely incredible how the universe delivers when you are intentional like that.
Yeah, you know, I this step of no tension that I talk about in that formula, it's the one that I need to focus on the most. I know
mm-hmm.
that it's one that many people in our society need to focus on because we're so locked into this idea of I'm in charge, I'm in control. And it's certainly been one of my things in life. And for those of us who are locked into the I'm in charge, I have to take control, that approach to life, having a sense of surrender and opening to the flow of grace is just an amazing practice to really put ourselves in the flow of life. I talk about it as having a yes mind. Just having the mind of being open and saying yes to the universe and saying yes to what's out there.
Marcy, I just turned to that page in your book and you said it.
Oh, see? Don't we just love it when that happens?
Yeah, and I just, right next door to that, I was reading, The Winds of Grace Are Always Blowing, But You Have to Raise the Sail.
I was just about to say those words. Gosh, you could do the whole interview because you know my part and your part.
That's so cool. Really, I just love that. That's definitely, well, every time I do an interview with anybody on the show, it's just spirit shows up and has a blast. And that's what, when you step out of the way like that and you just allow life to unfold, it always unfolds perfectly. It's when we get in the way and worry and stress and have tension that it sort of goes in a different direction, and that's when we lose faith and trust. And faith and trust are so important when it comes to having your intention fulfilled.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I one of the principles that we found in the people that I interviewed for Happy for No Reason, I interviewed 100 unconditionally happy people that I call my Happy 100,
mm-hmm.
and I found that they had different habits than everybody else, and I uncovered 21 core happiness habits that anyone can practice.
Mm-hmm.
But along with these habits, they also lived by 3 guiding principles, and one of them is the one you just referred to. It's a principle that the universe is out to support me.
Yes.
Having great faith that this is a friendly universe.
Mm-hmm.
Einstein said that the most important question we can ask ourselves is this a friendly universe? And I found that my Happy 100 always answered with a resounding yes, that no matter what was going on, they felt that things that were happening to them for a reason, and it was to serve their highest good. It's what Jack Canfield, who's my mentor,
mm-hmm.
and possibly listening right now,
yes.
refers to as being a reverse paranoid.
Ah.
Instead of the universe being out to get you, the universe is out to support you, and there's a benevolence. And even though things may be happening that aren't exactly what you think you want, that there is some reason or purpose behind it that's for your highest good. And so if you find yourself in a situation where things aren't going the way you would particularly want them to be going,
mm-hmm.
stop for a moment and ask yourself, if this were happening for a higher purpose, what would that be?
Right.
If this were happening for a higher purpose, what would that be? And I know, you know, the things that have happened in my life to me that I've at the time thought were the worst possible things can happen have turned out, of course, to be some of the greatest blessings.
Yes.
And I know that everybody has had that experience, you know, that a relationship breaks up and you think, oh, my God, I'll never get over it. And then a year later you're saying, thank God I'm not with him anymore.
You know? Yeah, and one thing that I got during that 2 years of really learning to love myself fully and accept myself,
mm-hmm.
Which was the only way I could ever attract my God-intended sacred partner.
Yes.
That's the only way I could do it, is to learn to love myself first.
Yes.
I knew that I needed to get up every morning with my left foot being Thank and my right foot being You.
Yes.
And ask myself the question, when I would have my coffee in the morning, how is the world out to support me today?
Oh, it's a great question.
And it's a really wonderful way to look at it. You can get up and go, who's gonna, you know, excuse the expression, screw me over today, or you can get up and say, who's going to support me today?
Absolutely.
And
it's all the difference in the world, the question you ask yourself and the way you ask that.
Yes. And I'm telling you, when I discovered that my sacred partner was smitten with me, I was never so surprised in my life, and I sort of fancy myself to be pretty insightful, and I'm an intuitive empath, and I swear I did not see that coming.
Mm.
I just wasn't looking.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking for that. I was just happy being happy, and that's when it happened. And he took me to a gratitude dinner one night, and I thought he was just acting particularly smiley. And on the way home, he says, when he took me back to my car, he said, I have something that I want to say to you, and I don't know how to say it. And I went, well, you know, you could tell me anything, because we were good friends. He was the best brother I ever would ever want in my life, and just a really wonderful platonic male friend. And he said, I don't know how to say it. I said, well, just say it. He said, "I'm charmed and enchanted by you."
Mm.
And I said, "What does that mean?" And he said, "It means that I want to carry your books for you. I want to provide for you. I want to take care of your feelings and protect you. And I want to be your sacred partner."
Mm.
And he said, "I look like a deer in the headlights." And it was only because I was going from soul sister to sacred partner in my mind, like in a New York second.
Yes.
Because I was excited about this. I had strong feelings for him, but I certainly didn't expect it to go this direction. And I just love the surprise of it. And everything from that moment forward has been, you know how some things are, you get surprised all the time over things?
Yeah.
It's wonderful when all the surprises are happy ones. And great ones.
And, you know, what I would say is that you actually went into that situation in a state of happy for no reason.
I did.
And this is just the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, what I found is that most people in our society, and most, interestingly enough, most of the research and the talk that's out there on happiness is about the state that I call happy for good reason. It's about, let me gather up all the right circumstances and situations and things in life that I think will make me happy. And let me just add all those up together and then I'll have a happy life. That's not it. In fact, that will never bring lasting happiness.
Mm-hmm.
This happy for good reason, there's nothing wrong with having all the good reasons in the world to be happy. It's just that it won't bring this deep inner state that I call happy for no reason,
mm-hmm.
which is an inner state of peace and well-being that doesn't depend on our circumstances. When you've got that, when you're really whole inside, which is what I hear you saying happened to you
mm-hmm.
before you met John,
mm-hmm.
then the good circumstances and good things are the icing on the cake, and you're coming into those relationships or holding onto those things without the same kind of need.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's a freedom, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. Love is spelled F-R-E-E-D-O-M, and I've had that on my checks for years before I ever really lived into it.
Yeah. And, you know, it sounds like a bunch of sort of New Age theoretical blissy talk,
mm-hmm.
but it's very real.
It works.
It's very, very real.
It
and,
is.
You know, this. What's so amazing these days, Katie, is that for the first time in human history, science has actually cracked the code on happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Science now knows what we can do to make us happier. You know, everything that anybody has ever wanted to do for time immemorial, everything we've done because we thought ultimately it would make us happy.
Right.
That's your motivation for anything. But we now know what it actually takes. I think this should be headline news everywhere because we sort of uncovered the big mystery of life. What do we do to really find this deep level of happiness or what other people might call awakening?
Yes.
In life?
And how did you come upon it yourself?
Well, I'll tell the personal side of the story, and then I'll tell a little bit of the research. Is that what you're?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. The personal side of the story is what we want.
The what?
The personal side.
Okay. Well, I did not win the happiness jackpot at birth.
Mm-hmm.
I came out of the womb with existential angst. I was that brooding five-year-old who was worrying about the suffering in the world while my friends were watching Romper Room. So I really came in with kind of a heavy heart. And yet I was very fortunate because I had a father who was the happiest man I have ever known in my life.
Mm.
He passed away 2 years ago at age 91 on Valentine's Day.
Which oh, wow.
Perfectly fitting because he was a man of just great love.
Mm.
And he was just happy all the time. He woke up every morning with a smile on his face, and his motto was, "Any day that I'm breathing is a good day."
Yeah.
And I remember once I was about 19, we were driving down the road one day, and I looked at him and I said, "Dad, what's your best advice for life?" And he looked at me and he said four words. He said, "Honey, just be happy."
Mm.
At which point I threw my arms into the air and I said, "Ah, Dad, that's easy for you to say. You're just naturally happy, but what do I do?"
Mm.
And at that point he looked at me and he said four more words. He said, "Honey, I don't know."
Mm.
And that's when I decided to devote my life to finding out the answer to that question. What do I do? What does everybody do to really have that real deal internal level of happiness. And so I started researching it. I've spent 31 years in some form or another researching it. I've been on numbers of spiritual paths doing research. I've also, in more recent years, in the last 10 years, studied the research in the area of positive psychology, which is a field that studies happiness. You know, most psychology up until 10 years ago just studied disease and pathology.
Right.
And now they're studying, well, what about happy and healthy people? And I also wanted, I actually interviewed a lot of the people in the field of positive psychology, the experts. I found they weren't necessarily the happiest people on the planet.
Right.
So I wanted to also go out and interview the really happy people. I mean, just the people who are living this message. And I found 100 of them. It wasn't that easy, by the way. And I got a tremendous amount of the research from was interviewing those people and distilling their habits down to these 21 core happiness habits.
Mm-hmm.
And but let me just tell you the most important thing that the scientific research shows.
Mm-hmm.
That is that we all have a happiness set point.
Yes.
And no matter what happens to us, whether good or bad, we will hover around the same happiness set point unless we do something consciously to change it. That means that even people who won the lottery, within a year, they returned to their original happiness level.
Right.
And so it wasn't just the good. Even the people who had bad things happen, people within a year of becoming paraplegic also returned to their original happiness set point. So the real key here is the set point.
Right.
And here's how the set point can change. Your happiness set point is 50% genetic. So you're born with that part.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 10% are circumstances. And that's yet what people spend so much of their time focusing on. The other 40% is the part that we can really change. And it's our habits of thoughts and behavior. That's these 21 happiness habits that I talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, what I actually believe is that this 50% that's genetic, that's in the DNA, there are even progressive research scientists like Bruce Lipton, for example, who wrote a book called The Biology of Belief, that say that even that 50% that's our DNA, even that's changeable.
Oh, yes.
So I think that we have a great ability to change our DNA and to change our happiness set point, and that's the real key to focus on.
I could not agree with you more. There's something that I say constantly as one of my message points, and that is that it costs you nothing to believe. It costs you everything if you don't. Believing is free. You can have all you want. It doesn't have any calories. And that's Acadiaism. And then I end it with, there is biology in belief.
Ooh.
And there absolutely is. You can change your DNA. You absolutely can. And you can heal yourself from anything just by shifting your vibration to one of happiness. Which is happiness for no reason. Happy for no reason is just choosing it moment by moment by moment. Is it easy to start with? No. No new exercise is. But eventually you'll get to the point where you can't live without that workout.
Yes, and it's these habits, they're in a number of different areas. So they're not just in the area of the mind.
Uh-huh.
While the mind or choosing it is one of the areas, they're also, I found that the happiness habits fell into seven main areas.
Mm-hmm.
One had to do with our mind, changing our thinking. One has to do with the heart, changing your feeling. One has to do with the body, changing the way you treat your body and what you do with it, take what you take in. One has to do with your soul, plugging into your spirit. The fifth habit has to do with your purpose or your passion in life. Are you living an inspired life? The sixth area has to do with your relationships.
The garden.
The garden, who you're surrounding yourself with. And the seventh area has to do with your level, your sense of empowerment. Are you living as a victim or as a victor in life? And in fact, Katie, you were talking about how we can change our body. Let me share with you a quick story from Happy for No Reason about one of the women I interviewed and what changes happened to her. Her name is CJ. And when I interviewed CJ, she told me this remarkable story about how she'd been very, very depressed. For 15 years, she had had lupus, which is an autoimmune disorder. She had lots of symptoms. She was in a wheelchair. She was quite overweight. She was basically miserable. She heard of a very simple practice of wishing other people well And she decided to try it. She said, what the heck, what do I have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
So every day she got in the habit of sending silently from her heart wishes of health and happiness to everybody she'd encounter. And her wish went like this. She said, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And every day she would silently send that wish to her friends, her coworkers, even strangers that she'd pass along as she's driving down the highway. She'd look into the car and silently send them that wish.
Mm.
A year after doing this, I can't tell you what happened to the people that she sent the wish to,
mm-hmm.
but I can tell you what happened to her. A year later, her happiness level had soared. She is out of the wheelchair. She is exercising 3 times a week. She's completely symptom-free, and the doctors say that it's a medical miracle.
Right.
Now, the only thing she did differently was to wish others well.
Yes. She changed her focus.
She changed her focus, and she let her heart open up
mm-hmm.
and lead.
Yes.
And so much of it is about our hearts as well. You know, we're so brain and mind focused. But focus on the heart, sending out the energy of love, is the highest energetic vibration on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And derivatives of that are gratitude. You know, you talked about starting your day with thank you
mm-hmm.
and the feelings of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
What we found is that a very simple principle to live by is that everything that expands you makes you happier.
Yes.
So whenever you're moving in the direction towards expansion, you're raising your happiness set point.
Yes. And one thing I discovered at Billionaire Boot Camp is that I'm obsessed with expansion.
Oh, great. How did you find that out?
Just an exercise that we did, which was a formula. You write down page after page of what's wrong, and you start noticing keywords, and you circle the keywords, and then you work on the keywords to say what is, whatever that keyword is, what is it not. I forget exactly the other 2 points. I don't have my notes in front of me, but it's an exercise. It's a 4-point exercise, and by the time you're finished, you've got distinguished exactly is what it is that makes you tick. And they also had us look down a list of billionaire qualities and traits, and it's not all just about money being a billionaire. It's about having wealth and happiness and quality of life and a wonderful attitude. I mean, all those things are what wealth are. What wealth is, it's not just about money. And out of that entire list of things, we were asked, what's the one thing that would bring your game to a whole new level in your life, meaning everything in your life? And I saw right away, jumped out at me, was healthy competition and a desire to win. Because I came from a family of 7 where it was pretty much each one for themselves, I decided that competition wasn't a good thing because it wasn't civilized. It occurred to me as being dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that distinction in the boot camp, and now I'm having so much fun. I mean, just I'm only back a day from Maui, and I'm having so much fun with this healthy competition and a desire to win. And the healthy competition I'm feeling is, who's going to be the first one to ignite consciousness in the world, and let it be me? And I have a desire to win that.
Mm. Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a different perspective. And for John, it was ferocious curiosity and dedicated conviction. So we're having so much fun with those 2 distinctions, just supporting one another in making sure that we're applying that everywhere in our life. And things have shifted and moved out of the way, like, incredibly for us,
mm.
just from getting those 2 distinctions. So it is a matter of intention, attention, and no tension.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, because when you learn to have playfulness and fun in your life and just let go, that's such a giant key for,
yes.
for, you know, letting your helium balloon of happiness rise.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and we just, it's so unfortunate. We live in a society where unhappiness is an epidemic. According to research, 1 out of 5 women in America is on antidepressants,
mm.
which is staggering. 25% of people in North America say that they are depressed.
Mm.
So we're working harder than ever. We have more than ever. And yet we are unhappier than ever. And what I'm finding all over the place in all of the talks that I give, I'm finding that people are really ready. We all have, anybody who's listening to this has created a certain amount of success in their life, a certain amount of accomplishment or achievement. And they realize, you know, we're kind of on this little treadmill, rat race. And not that success isn't a wonderful thing. I'm all for it. But it's not, we have to be driven in a way by something deeper and more profound than just that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about being driven for true awakening, for truly, what are we here on this planet for? We aren't on this planet to just get by. We aren't here to just survive. We're here to thrive, but not just thrive in the sense of succeed, but thrive in the sense of really fulfilling our spirit's purpose, our soul's purpose for being alive,
mm-hmm.
which is to learn our lessons and to grow in love and to grow in awakening to the truth of life.
Yes, pure expansion.
Yep.
And we're pure creativity. And that's when we're not being creative, that's when we get depressed.
Yep.
And what we can do is just raise our happiness set point as if we are adjusting the thermostat on our furnace.
Exactly. It's just like that. It's, you know, just the way that you raise your thermostat at home to get warmer on a cold day.
Yeah.
You can raise your happiness set point. You don't have to become thinner or richer or smarter to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one simple exercise that anybody can do right now is to take a piece of paper and put a little T chart on the piece of paper, and on the left-hand side at the top, write the word contraction. On the right-hand side, write the word expansion. And under the left-hand column of contraction, write down everything in your life that's contracting you right now.
Mm.
On the right-hand side, write down everything in your life that's expanding you, that makes you feel expanded. And move 5%, just 5%, not a lot, not big steps, baby steps, in the direction of expansion.
Hmm. That's just resetting your thermostat.
It's helping you reset your thermostat.
Yes, yes. And what people will find in this book, 7 points that they'll find in this book are the foundation, taking ownership of your happiness, the pillar of the mind, don't believe everything you think, I love that one, the pillar of the heart, let love lead, the pillar of the body, make yourselves happy, I love that one too, the pillar of the soul, plug yourself into spirit, I adore that one, the roof, live a life inspired by purpose, and the garden, cultivate nourishing relationships. And I would love to know your thoughts on making yourselves happy. How can people start doing that right here, right now, Marcy?
Well, the first thing that I would have them do, first of all, I'm the kind of person that likes to get an assessment of where I stand now, and I have a happy for no reason questionnaire or self-assessment in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's also on our website. You can just go to the website and for free take the Happy for No Reason questionnaire
mm-hmm.
or assessment. Get a sense of where you are now. Where's your starting point? Be aware of that. And I have to tell you, I've had people on this program of raising their happiness set point who have started very low, very miserable, very unhappy, quite depressed. And I've had people who are already really happy, but they just want to raise their happiness a notch or two. So you can be anywhere on the scale and still raise your happiness level. Then the next thing I would do is just that little exercise I gave you right now. Make a list of what expands you and a list of what contracts you.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, there are 21 habits, and what I find is that each person has an area of their life that's strong, they're doing well in, and that's weak, they're not doing as well in. So what I suggest is that people look at these 7 areas of their life, the mind, the body, the heart, the soul, the relationships, their sense of purpose, and their sense of empowerment, and see what most needs to be strengthened in your life right now, and then start there with some of those habits. It's a very personalized program that you can put yourself on to raise your happiness set point.
Yes, and part of doing that is dropping the excess baggage so you can raise it, but you have to find out what that is. And one of the ways you suggest doing that is putting the Sedona method into practice, which is the
right
practice of letting go.
Right. I do, you know, in the chapter of the mind,
mm-hmm.
I talk about, and I'm happy that you appreciated the title. I love the title, too. Don't believe everything you think.
I'm looking right at it.
Yeah. You know, the research shows that we have 60,000 thoughts a day, and for the average person, 80% of them are negative.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have a thought doesn't mean that it's true. And, in fact, most of our thoughts just are not true. They're just old, repetitive habit patterns that have created certain neural pathways in the brain.
Can I give some of those thoughts?
Please do.
One is, I'm not good enough, and another is...
By the way, that one, I'm not good enough, that is the most common happiness-robbing thought that we have.
Yeah, I would imagine that they're listed in order of importance.
They are.
The next one is, my husband or wife doesn't love me. The next one is, I hate the way I look. The next one is, I'm worried I won't be able to pay my bills. The next one is, my daughter doesn't respect me. The next one is, I'm so stupid. And the next one is, I can't stand this job. And these are just a few of the 80% of the negative thoughts that go through our mind every single day.
Yeah, I heard Eckhart Tolle speak the other day live in my area, in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Wonderful.
And I am so thrilled with what's going on with Oprah and the webinar that she and Eckhart Tolle are doing. I think
the tipping point. Yeah.
A new time on the planet
that
is just fantastic, and the fact that people are just really ready to hear this. But he was saying that, and I hadn't heard this before, but he was saying that the research shows that 99% of the thoughts that we have are absolutely superfluous. They're meaningless. They don't matter in our life. They aren't something that has anything to do with what we need to actually get done today or with what's currently going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're just these random, habitual, superfluous thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So what he talks about, and in fact what I talk about in Happy for No Reason as well, is not believing your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have all of these thoughts are just creating some kind of a story. And it's just that's all it is a story. And to not have so much attachment to it. And in fact, I give a few processes in that chapter on how to not believe everything you think. One of them is the process by Byron Katie called The Work, which is a very simple procedure of asking yourself four questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I give those four questions in a turnaround statement in the book. Another process I love is from my friend Hale Dwoskin, and it's the Sedona Method, and it's how to let go of the thoughts and the beliefs and the feelings that are gripping us and getting in our way.
And that's like teaching an old brain new tricks, right?
Exactly. You know, the research shows that we have neuroplasticity, that our brains are able to change. And all we're needing to do is change the old neural pathways in the brain and create new neural pathways. I actually recently saw a film of the old brain synapses dying off and the new brain synapses forming, and it was just so remarkable to get to see it in front of my eyes. Oh my God, this is a real deal. What are the new brain patterns that I want to have going in my life? And that's what we have the freedom to create.
You know, Marcy, that's a very high frequency question to ask yourself, and I saw a lot of that in What the Bleep Do We Know.
Yes.
That's where that came to my mind, and I got so inspired by that. I just started that was part of my 2 years of getting happy for no reason.
Wow. What specifically did you do?
When I meditated, I would just picture the old synapses dying off of what I didn't want in my life and focusing on what I do want in my life and building new neural pathways just by meditating on that and watching it happen in my mind.
Very cool, Katie.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Because why not? It costs us nothing to believe. It costs us everything if we don't, and that's one of my Katieisms, and I have to buy it or I shouldn't say it.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Great.
So
I might have to add that into my little toolbox here. I'll credit you, of course.
Of course. That's fine. I would be thrilled. So if people would crank up the neocortex in their brain, then they would have more alpha wave activity.
Yes.
Which is the sign of a happy brain.
Yes. They would also have what researchers have found is that people who are happier have greater activity in the left prefrontal cortex of the brain.
Mm.
People who are more depressed have greater activity in the right prefrontal cortex.
Mm.
There are ways that we can stimulate the activity in the left prefrontal cortex of the brain. One of the ways that's been shown to be the most powerful is through meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Davidson from the University of Wisconsin did research on Buddhist monks who'd been meditating in a cave for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he found that they were off the charts in the activity of the left prefrontal cortex. In fact,
mm-hmm.
he named one of them, who's a French philosopher turned Buddhist monk, a man named Matthieu Ricard,
mm-hmm.
exquisite, beautiful man who really is just living the message of happy for no reason. They named him the happiest man in the world.
Wow.
And it's because his brainwave activity in the left prefrontal cortex was just so remarkable. But so you say people are listening and going, well, I'm not going to go meditate in a cave for the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same researchers found, they did some random experiments taking people off the street in San Francisco and having them meditate for 2 weeks, for just 15, 20 minutes a day for 2 weeks, and they found that they had dramatically increased activity in the left prefrontal cortex. So it can happen in just a very short period of time, 15 minutes a day, for a short period of time.
Right, I did it for 10 minutes a day. I used Mike Dooley's timer I bought from his seminar.
Great.
Yeah, and you know what's really cool, too, I just would like to say?
Please.
Is I've been left-handed my whole life, and it was they tried to train it out of me. I wasn't allowed to play the violin because I'm left-handed, when actually I use both hands equally. And I attracted a left-handed, God-intended sacred partner. So we both are in our right mind.
So now you can sit at the dinner table without having your elbows hit each other.
Exactly, and we do. And when we're in the seminar taking notes, I just love to watch both our hands smear the ink.
Great.
It's great. That's true partnership.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you off to next? What are you doing next? Are you going somewhere else to promote your book?
Well, actually, right now, well, as I said earlier, tomorrow we're on the Montel Williams show.
What time is that tomorrow?
It's on in different places, different times in different places. So you just have to go to themontelshow.com, and it'll say on there what time it is in your local area. It's a great show. We've already taped it. One of my best friends, Catherine Oxenberg, who's also an actress and very, very deeply spiritual woman, and tells her story of how she overcame unhappiness and depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's on the show with me. There's a guy on the show who talks about happy foods. And I was very honored. Montel asked me to co-host the show. It's an entire hour on happiness. So
fantastic.
So I'm on that, and then I'm doing some television specials that I am very excited coming up in the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm traveling all over the country and a lot of South America and Central America doing speeches. This message is I find it is definitely not just an American message, that clearly the whole world, just as they took to The Secret, they're all taking to this concept of happy for no reason. I believe it's the next step. As a matter of fact, Rhonda Byrne, the creator of The Secret, has a quote about happiness that she talks about in The Secret. She says, I want to let you in on a secret to The Secret. The shortcut to anything that you want in your life is to be and feel happy now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fastest way to bring money and anything else you want into your life. Set your thoughts and frequency on happiness.
Absolutely.
And so people all over the world are opening up to this. We're and it's very exciting to be talking about it worldwide. We're going to have a happy world.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great time to be alive, and it's a great time to have these concepts. And I know that, you know, if you believe in past lives, this is the life you've been dying to live.
Yes.
And I know that in all of my past lives, I'm a walking barbecue for being seen as a heretic for these beliefs that I believe, and that is that happiness comes from inside of us, not outside of us, and that God is inside of us, not outside of us. And that's where we go to find it. Source lives within us, and when we tap into that source, we are genius, and when we tap into that source, we are sorcerers and sorceresses, and we can have, do, and be anything we choose as long as we remember who we are. And I appreciate you so much, Marcy, for the work you do and what you're up to and the difference that you're making, and your energy and your vibration are felt everywhere. And
thank
I want
you,
all our
Katie.
Listeners to be grateful for this woman right now as you're listening.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I'd love to leave everybody with a quote, because I think that ultimately the best service we can do for the whole world is by raising our own happiness level, by raising our own energetic vibration.
Yes.
So I want to leave with a Chinese proverb that I have in the book, and actually started the very first Chicken Soup for the Soul book out as well. It sums up this message. It says, if there is light in the soul, there will be beauty in the person. If there is beauty in the person, there will be harmony in the house. If there is harmony in the house, there will be order in the nation. And if there is order in the nation, there will be peace in this world. And my wish and my prayer for everybody listening right now is that we all feel the love and the joy and the happy for no reason in our own souls. And through that, we help create a planet of peace and joy.
High frequency love. Thank you so much, Marcy, for joining us tonight. We do appreciate your time. And everybody, stand up really straight, take a deep breath, and love yourselves. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So get busy having a happy life. Thanks again, Marcy. Good night, everybody.
Oh, thank you, Katie. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.